Blog Talk Radio.
All right, microphone on. All right, we're ready to rock. Here we go.
This show is sponsored by CoventryCreations.com. You're listening to Keep It Magic Radio. Are you ready to make some magic? Jackie and Storm are putting the pieces together for you. Find out what planets are changing the game and how to harness that energy. Get the latest metaphysical perspective on hot topics. Learn how to make magic work for you. Nothing is too hot or personal for Jackie and Storm to handle. Visit our website weekly for articles, updates, and the latest information to transform your life at www.keepitmagic.com. Now here is Jackie Smith and Storm Sestavani.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to Keep It Magic. I'm Storm Sestavani, and of course I am here with the lovely, gifted, and talented Miss Jackie Smith. Cruise on over to our sponsor's website at www.coventrycreations.com. Again, that's www.coventrycreations.com. And on that website, you can book a reading with Jackie. She does Akashic Records and healing readings. She occasionally will even throw a couple of tarot cards, but cruise on over and check her out. To find me, go to www.stormsestavani.com. And on the website for this show is www.keepitmagic.com. The next two episodes of Keep It Magic, the one that you're listening to now, combined with the one that will be released in 2 weeks, are probably going to be two of the deepest shows that Jackie and I have done. The reason being is that we're going to be, for the month of May and the month of June, focusing on the first four astrological planets, which are the Sun, the Moon, Mercury, and Venus. In season four, we will finish the rest of the planets over time. And in the month of July, we will be focusing on Patty and Jackie. Patty will be with us in the first show in the month of July. It'll be all about Jackie at the end of July, and then Jackie and I will be not on the air for a month. So we will be getting ready for season four. And if you look at our trajectory at this point, each season we've gone deeper, deeper, and deeper, and deeper, and it will not be surprising to me if season four is not even deeper.
Don't worry, we'll throw you a few lifelines there.
Yes. We occasionally lighten it up, so we'll be lightening it up in July. But one of the things, Jackie, we're going to be talking about the moon today. And probably my idol, if there is such a thing in astrology, is Liz Green, who is also a Jungian analyst. It was her first book, Saturn, A New Look at an Old Devil, which is one of the reasons why I decided to move more in a psychological astrology type of mode than, just traditional astrology, even though I know traditional astrology and horary astrology. I really like looking at the chart from the perspective that this is a snapshot of the soul of the individual.
In this moment.
At the moment that they're born, yeah.
Right. Isn't the horary chart...
The horary chart is a snapshot based upon a question that is presented, that's of the moment of the question. The natal chart, which is what we're going to be talking about here, is the snapshot of where the particular planets were when the individual was born. And although that there's changes in regards to the horoscope over time, which is called progressions, you do have transits and all of these other factors, which I'm not going to talk about today, mainly because, that would take 6 hours on its own. But anyways, during a lecture that Liz Green did on the moon, Jackie, she asked her students a couple of simple questions. The first one is, what constitutes food for you? And then she asked, what do you reach for when you become anxious? And although these particular questions, they're extremely simplistic, The answers are rather complex, and only understanding the deeper archetypal meaning of the moon in both her positive manifestation and her darker manifestation can we get enough intellectual sustenance in order to understand what lunar hunger is all about. And I think that in many ways, especially in our particular society now, Jackie, I think, I want to know your feeling on this, but I think that we have more gravitated towards the sun, which we will be talking about in 2 weeks, in solar consciousness, which is goals, what is going to happen tomorrow, how do I build my vocation, how do I go out into the world and get what it is that I want, what is it that I want, who am I, where am I, what is my purpose here. I think that for the most part, we're very, very solar at this particular point. And I think that oftentimes the moon kind of gets submerged.
Well, we have, as a society, have put a great value on the logic, on the striving, on the goal setting, on the success, on the, make it rich, make yourself rich quick.
Mm-hmm.
More than we have on connecting with what's really going on internally, the emotions that the moon holds.
Yes. I agree with you.
And I think it's, I watch my parents and their generation where you just, it reminds me of Moonstruck, snap out of it, when
yeah.
Cher said that, that we're expected to just snap out of it. We're expected to just set a brand new goal and go forward with it and then ignore all of the ills and hurts and issues and fears that we have. We're just supposed to absolutely ignore them. They don't exist.
Mm-hmm. I would like basically for everyone to take their preconceived notions about the moon and the images that Jackie and I are going to work with later, some mythic images, and I want people to kind of put them on a shelf. The purpose,
just throw them out? Just put them on the shelf?
Yeah, put them on a shelf. You don't have to throw them out. You can use them later if you want. The purpose of this show is not to be politically controversial, or is it to upset anybody's spiritual or religious beliefs. It's simply to provide a well-rounded understanding of the dimension, the full dimension of the moon, which often is just reduced to our emotions and our feelings, which ironically, Jackie, probably pisses the lunar deities off a little bit because they're much more complex than that. Instead, we will explore why the moon is connected to our feelings and emotions and what do feelings and emotions really mean. Further, Jackie and I are going to describe how to use our understanding of the moon in order to live more full, well-rounded lives, which is basically the purpose for transformational magic anyway.
Right. I love this because this whole process of transformational magic is about digging deep within yourself.
Yes.
And some people are calling this, more psychological work or more mental magic, and that's okay because if you combine this deep looking with some standard magical practices, what happens is that you're going to heal. You're going to do some really interesting deep healing that will take you even further than any goal setting ever will.
Exactly. And, one of the things that I think that with astrology in general is that people, I don't know how to teach astrology without using imagery. I just can't do it. Of course, there's the keywords and you have, little phrases that you can use in order to remember them. But I think that when things are layered out in keywords, I think that people try to make things really formulaic. They try to, do a one-size-fits-all with them. For example, I had a client that contacted me a bit ago, and we were having this conversation, and I was talking to her about her relationship, and she was frustrated in regards to her boyfriend, and she told me, she goes, well, he is just not capable of feeling because he has the moon in Capricorn. So basically, I'm sitting there internally giggling to myself, Jackie. And you know that both Tony and I have our moons in Capricorn.
I was going to say, are you telling my story? Because it sounded kind of familiar.
So basically, I let her go on and go on. And then I finally asked her, I said, client, Do you think that I am insensitive or have a difficulty expressing emotions? And she told me, no, I think that you do it very well. That's, you're very emotionally centered and empathic. That's why you're so good at what it is that you do. And then I told her, well, I have a moon in Capricorn. So based on your formula, I must be incapable of feeling as well. However, this is not the truth about the moon in Capricorn, and it's why I want people to put their preconceived notions about the moon up on that particular shelf. The moon in Capricorn is just as sensitive to emotions as other signs. It is just more reserved about expressing them. Now, this is not because they care any less or that they're, you know, not empathic. It is because they are afraid of being controlled by their emotions.
That is so funny. Although my daughter does not have her moon in Capricorn, she just is a Capricorn.
Yeah.
So I have to tell you a quick little sidebar funny story. So we had gotten awards last week for being good neighbors in Ferndale, and my daughter got an award because she works a lot with the grade school kids. She's a junior in high school, as well as all the fundraising she's doing to go to Japan and take 1,000 cranes to Hiroshima National Park. I mean, that's what her one of her lifelong dreams is, to do that. And they played the video of it. If you haven't seen it, we'll post another link on Keep It Magic. But it's tear-inducing. My friend did the video and did such an amazing job. So I know what's coming. They start playing the video. I know what's coming, and I have no problem crying at Maxwell House commercials, at puppies, at any happy occasion. And so I know what's coming, so I'm, like, sobbing. I'm, like, trying to control myself. My daughter picks up her sunglasses, puts them on her face, and cannot look at me. It's the funniest thing. There will be no emotions. And here she has one of the most emotional mothers there is. Every time I start talking about that, her trip and all that other stuff, I get a little teary. Because I'm happy. That's when I get teary, is when I'm happy.
Yeah.
But I just thought that was really, that is like the epitome of the aloofness of the Capricorn. I know she's feeling it deeply because she kept hugging me afterwards because of how emotional I was. But, oh, my God, that's so funny.
Hey, it's easier for Capricorn to detach and look outside for its own reasons, which we will get into in regards to the sun and the particular myth that goes around along with the sign of Capricorn. But let's begin with the moon and what she actually is. In ancient astrology, including horary, the moon is one of the most significant planets in the chart, and it is considered the co-significator. And what I mean by that is that you have your planet, Jackie. Like, for example, you have the moon in Libra, okay? Or you have the sun in Virgo. Now, what you have with that combination is that your planet, of course, is Mercury, because Mercury rules Virgo, okay? But because of the fact that, so that is your, the ruler of your sign, okay? Also, in that situation, what you would also take into consideration would be the moon, because the moon is the planet that governs change in the horoscope, and because she's the fastest moving. So, you know, you're going to have more, it takes by progression, Jackie, 24 years for the moon to go around the horoscope. It takes the sun 1 year to go 1 degree, okay? So you're never, through the course of your lifetime, going to have a full progress sun return. You will have plenty lunar returns in your progressed horoscope. Now, in the modern method of viewing, the modern method that we tend to look at is that, you know, people go and they, now online, they used to go, you know, of course, to the New York Times, the Los Angeles Times, or the London Times, you know, and they would go into the entertainment section and find their horoscopes and go down and, you know, read Virgo.
Never suited me.
Well, the sun is our need to strive towards something, to be a unique and individual. And it's concerned with potential and possibility and the world we can craft and shape tomorrow rather than the reality of today. The sun is concerned with giving us life with meaning. It's not real concerned with trivial responsibilities such as, you know, paying the bills, making sure that we have enough food to eat, and the preparation of, you know, the food, or the cleaning of the bathroom, or, you know, laundry, or menstrual cramps, or anything of that particular nature. From the perspective of the moon, everything changes. We are born, we go through childhood and adolescence, we become adults, and eventually we go through a midlife crisis, which that's where Jackie and I are now, by the way, which ultimately leads to the reality of death and disintegration, okay? So you can already start to tell, you know, okay, the moon is going to be intense, batting down the hatches. The moon, Jackie, rules cycles, and those cycles are very vividly represented in the changing face of the moon. This can be translated into all facets of our lives. We all go through periods where life is really good or we're beginning something new.
Oh, amen.
And we go through times when things are not so good and we feel challenged by worldly responsibilities.
Amen to that, too.
And we go through periods in which we're depressed and things look bleak and horrible and, you know, basically we go from there.
It's really interesting that you say that because that's one of the biggest challenges of my customers is that whether it's the candle customers or my consultation and reading clients.
Mm-hmm.
Even my friends, they're like, how do I get out of this cycle? How do I get out of this cycle? And I'm like, well, you know, think of it rather than the cycle as a spiral because you're spiraling out. You're going to repeat some things as you spiral out and learn more and more about yourself in relation to this thing.
Exactly. And I think that what people need to realize, I think that by nature we don't like change too much. So we already, because change is against everything solar, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So change already on its own is an agitation, okay? But the reality is that everything changes. Relationships, families, creativity, finances, and I hate to tell people this, even history.
We had a whole, we need to do another show on that, how you can change your own history.
Yeah, even history. Through her lunar phases, everything goes through cycles of birth and death and rebirth again. Now, for those, Jackie, that are naturally connected and integrated to the moon, that would be somebody with, you know, like, that's a Cancer or the moon in Cancer or somebody that has the moon in, like, the first house or the 10th house or something of that nature.
Uh-huh.
They are concerned with safety and security and warmth of human contact, and that overrides any form of quest of meaning. They are gifted at keeping their feet on the ground and dealing with events and people in a sensible, reassuring, and compassionate way. Patty. Unfortunately...
Well, she's so lunar as
yeah.
it is.
She's very, very lunar. Unfortunately, you know, she's even did a book on Unfortunately, there are people who are stuck in lunar mode and cannot get beyond their immediate personal circumstances. On the other hand, some of us don't look sufficiently at the cyclical nature of reality and consequently can't cope real well with ordinary life because we are addicted to the possibilities and have forgotten how to trust our instincts and work with time in a constructive manner.
Okay, so let's talk about these people that are stuck.
Sure.
What is that? So what that says to me when you're feeling really stuck in that, and if this is you, call yourself out on it. Stuck in your personal circumstances, is it that I just can't move beyond this? Is that the, I was born into this poverty or I was born into this or you don't understand what happened to me in my childhood, my mother said this to me and so I have to be this way? Is that kind of stuck in the circumstances?
Yes. It's stuck in the circumstances, Jackie, is that it's over time. For example, both you and I at some point in our lives have gone through major particular periods in which we get kind of stuck in lunar mode, okay?
Yes. And what did that look like? What did it look like for me? You can tell all about me. I have lots of shame, but none of it I'm unwilling to share.
With you... when you get stuck in lunar mode, you get very, very stuck in the overwhelming responsibilities that surround you.
Okay.
That you're a boss, that you're a mother, that you're a wife, mm-hmm. and all of these things. Now, here is the thing. Some people, Jackie, get stuck in that. Other people will go through that particular type of feeling for 3 or 4 days, and then the sun will kick in. Okay, so eventually most people, and that's why these two planets are important and why when we do talk about the sun in 2 weeks that you'll be able to glue all of this really together. It's people that can't get beyond their circumstances at all, that there's nothing inside of them, Jackie, that says, you know what, I know that things suck right now, but I've always wanted to be an anesthesiologist So maybe if I go to school and become an anesthesiologist, that my life will change. Do you see where the sun just kicked in?
Absolutely. So people,
okay.
I'm very particularly thinking of some folks I know who have bipolar.
Mm-hmm.
That's a very lunar thing, isn't it?
Correct.
Okay. So that's the kind of, and sometimes I feel a little bipolar, let me tell you. But
well, I think we all are a little bipolar.
And so,
I'm unipolar, but I have a disorder.
So, and then the other thing is that addicted to possibilities. So
that's the opposite.
That's the opposite, where
yeah.
where it's like, if only I do this, if only I do that. It's really easy to do. I mean, for myself, for a long time, and this was like 10 years ago, I broke out of this piece, and some of my lunar stuff came in, but I mean, solar stuff. It was literally a, once I lose X amount of weight, I will buy this pretty thing for myself.
Mm-hmm.
Once I lose X amount of weight, I will do this for myself, or I'll color my hair, or I'll be happier. Once we make this kind of money at the factory or have this kind of income, everything will be okay, which gave me permission to not be okay in the moment.
It also keeps you stuck in childhood.
Yes.
And childish thinking. There is a name for people that are addicted, or they're so solar, Jackie, that the lunar isn't there anymore.
Uh-huh.
You know, and that these are people that, you know, they're called a puer eternus, or an eternal youth. Usually they're in our entertainment industry. There's floods of them there, okay? You know, Mick Jagger, I mean, even though he's like 920 now, you still think of him at 25 on the stage with the big lips and the protruding hips and, you know, the bulge and all that other stuff. You know, which is why male stars, for the most part, there's only a small amount of male stars that really move from, you know, their prime into adulthood in a very sophisticated sort of way, like Sean Connery or Roger Moore. You know, is it likely that we're going to see movies from Justin Timberlake at 50? No. It's not going to happen because he's a puer eternus. And once the puer begins to age, Jackie, they oftentimes, unless they start to develop that lunar side, what happens is that they begin to disintegrate. And it's usually around 35 or so that, you know, between 29 and 35 is basically where something knocks on the door and says, okay, all of this solar aspiration is great and dandy, but you know what? You got to pay your bills.
So here's my, like, going to the Hollywood aspect,
yeah.
the famous people in the entertainment industry, Tom Hanks. Do you remember when that sitcom came out? I can't remember the name of it, where they dress up as women and lived in the woods.
Yeah.
So to me, he was very grounded. He was funny. He was slow funny, but he was very grounded.
Yeah.
And then to this day, he keeps on doing better and better movies.
He's somebody that has been able to go past that threshold because Tom Hanks really doesn't identify with the puer.
So for me, looking at that as an example, that's that groundedness and practicality that's a well-balanced moon, somebody who's balanced within their moon energy.
Oh, let me give you somebody that absolutely was never connected to his moon, Michael Jackson.
Oh, God bless him.
Has a new album coming out this week, I believe.
Yeah, from his grave. God
yeah, from his grave.
And his family for making more money.
Exactly. And, you know, basically we have moved into this extremely solar type of world. I think it is natural for Western society, Jackie, to be very, very solar because it's the bedrock, basically, of what our politics are made of. And, you know, we just, you know, you don't see people sitting at home in their house anymore with a hearth. You know, that they've all moved to cities and, you know, they don't read by candlelight anymore.
Right.
But many eons ago, and in a world that is much different from the ones that we live in now, the world was shaped by an agricultural world. And it was, of course, the agricultural world at that point was responsible for providing food and resources to the villages.
Right.
And the cycles of the moon, her changing fluctuation, and her relationship with the sun
was everything.
Was everything. It provided us with a timetable through which everything depended upon.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, at that time, Jackie, patriarchal ideals or solar ideals and visions were not dominant symbols of the day. They belonged to the Great Mother who governed life and death. The consciousness was matriarchal, and we have lost touch with her over time, yet she shows her face with worldly disasters, climate change, and despite our best spiritual intentions, that we're still bound to our bodies.
You know, so many people in the pagan world, they want to strive to go back.
Mm-hmm.
They just want to live by the moon. And I'm talking about extremes. You know,
and I thought I was going to be the controversial one. Go ahead, Jackie.
I'm talking about the extremes there. Not,
yeah.
There's lots of folks who live in that balance. So, well, and also the Luddites. I mean, there's just different people who are like want to drop out of society, and
mm-hmm.
and which sometimes I don't blame them. Good Lord, but that just are not interested in being part of. This, and I'm going to say this very solar aspect, but, you know, I can't even say that because there's some parts of it that's very lunar, and we'll get into that in a minute.
Yeah.
But it's just interesting to watch folks go back to homesteading.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's that one woman that has the blog, Pioneer Woman.
Yeah.
Major homesteader, and everything is about that, even homeschooling her kids, and it's just fascinating to me. So... people are always going to strive for some kind of balance.
Absolutely. Well, for the last 4,000 years, Jackie, we've had an overriding emphasis on solar consciousness.
Right.
However, recently, matriarchal attitudes have become rather popular in alternative spiritual circles.
Right, yeah.
You know, that there's a new focus on ideals such as food production, ecology, global warming, medicinal production. Go ahead.
Right, because that's what, I mean, that's like that new consciousness we have, like, how is our food grown and the GMO and the Monsanto and all this stuff. Yeah, absolutely.
Well, I think that actually what is beginning to occur is that many are beginning to reconnect to the natural world. Now, of course, the difficulty usually with reconnection is that you're going to see extremes first.
Yeah.
So, you know, what you will see in the news is the extremes first. But here is the problem. Any planet that becomes excessive can begin to unleash its own version of toxic poisons. And since matriarchal attitudes are concerned with natural laws and the value of the individual becomes suppressed and ultimate value is given to family and tribes whose security and comfort may be gathered by individual self-expression, which you know, may be different than the people of the group. And you often see this in group situations. Go ahead.
Tea party.
Yeah. You see it in the Tea Party. I also see it in Facebook groups.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
You know, anybody that offers any form of a different idea and or concept of something, which is solar, are squashed in order to preserve the group's collective system.
Well, because the collective system becomes more important. It is that ideology,
yeah.
Oh, good Lord. That was a typical word for me today. That ideology is more important than the person. The whole of the group is more important than the individual.
Yes, and it's often, you know, when you think about groups in general, it is often certain things that which are usually psychological and oftentimes not even from the ideological plane. Even though that they're all, I'll give you a new word, Jackie, even though that they're all spouting their own ideation.
Ideation? Okay, yeah. What's ideation?
Ideation is when you're thinking about something, you know.
Okay.
Like suicidal ideation is when you're thinking about killing yourself, but you're not really. You know, so when they're all going through these bonds that keep them together, oftentimes when a solar individual comes up and begins to want to change the system in some way, it is those binds and connections that begin to become threatened, not even necessarily the idea. However, being completely disconnected from the moon is not helpful at all either. We lose connection to our bodies, our ability to cope with the world of reality, our emotional life, and sooner or later we realize that life has passed us by.
So what does that look like to lose connection with your body?
Obesity.
Okay.
Anorexia, bulimia.
Okay. I was also, you know what, when you mentioned that before, I immediately thought of people who are addicted to plastic surgery.
People that are, same thing. You know, there's people that no matter what don't want to take care of themselves. You know, there are, you know, when I was, it was about a year ago I read this, Jackie, but if you take the average amount of people on the, in the United States and you average out the average of how many times a day that we brush our teeth, it's 3 times a week. So, you know, and if you think of lunar, you know, and food, you know, one of the things that you would think about right away is teeth. People don't take good enough care of their teeth. That's a disconnection from the body.
True. But here's, but I'm going to push a little bit because I know plenty of, including myself, folks who, I'm going to sneeze on it. That was awkward. Plenty of folks, including myself, who, you know, I'm work on being connected with my emotions. I work on being connected with other people's emotions. I do a lot of work with the mood, but I'm still, I still have weight issues. I still sometimes struggle to make sure I take care of myself because I wonder if I slide into depression every now and again. And I know plenty of people who still stay in that, that place as well. So it's like they would say, no, no, I'm very lunar. I'm very connected lunarly, lunar-ish.
They may be overly connected.
So they could be overly connected.
Yeah. You can get over, or, for example, usually disconnection, Jackie, is going to come up through, like, anorexia. Over-identification with the moon or lunar issues, maybe obesity, or compulsive overeating issues.
So it's almost like you're stuck.
You're bound to the mother, yeah.
In those emotions.
You're bound to the great mother, yeah.
Okay. All right, well, let's keep rolling because we, I don't want us to run out of time.
Now, there are a plethora of female goddesses that are lunar in nature.
You think?
Yeah. And they all contain within them different facets of the Virgin Mother Crone Triad, which is the new full, or the waxing full waning stages of the moon. And basically, since I'm versed more in Greek myth and Roman myth, I will be exploring these figures, not because I find any of them any more important than any other cultural
myth. You just know them.
I just know them. And they're what I feel more comfortable working with.
Right.
The purpose with amplifying these images is basically to enrich our understanding of the archetypal figures. Now, we're going to go into the one that basically might be a little bit of an issue for you. You, Jackie.
Personally, because I don't like digging in the dirt.
Yeah.
There's bugs out there.
And the first one is Gaia / Demeter. Now, she's made a comeback. This one here has made a comeback.
Yeah, Gaia. I mean, just look at Planet, the cartoon.
Planet Earth?
Planet. Oh, I forgot it. Shoot. I'll have to Google it while you're talking. I'm just kidding.
She seems to be the face of the new naturalistic and Earth movement.
Yes.
And in, it is, in essence, to her that on Earth Day we're paying homage, actually, to Gaia. And, you know, we also, when we go into the store and we get energy-efficient light bulbs, we're also paying homage to her at that particular point as well.
So when you recycle, give a nod to Gaia.
Give a nod to Gaia. So, you know, think that consciously. It might help you when you're buying this stuff. However, despite her recent ascent in popularity on the chart of Greek deities, you know, she's like Billboard number one right now, her mythic body of work is very minimal.
You know, that's true because I was looking that up for a class I was teaching, and I went, where is she?
With the reason being, you know, is that she is referred to as being the earth itself, or the body itself, and Uranus, or ideas, laid upon her nightly and created the physical universe of everything else that we know. Now,
Storm, you know what? For a guy who says he doesn't turn things dirty, you turn things dirty.
You know, for a guy that's a self-obsessed prude.
Or was it me that just made it dirty?
It's probably you that made it dirty. Now, she does make an appearance, a small one, in the Persephone story. In the original Greek version of the story, which is different than the sanitized version that most people read a little bit, there is what happens in the story is that Aphrodite looks out at Persephone and says, this girl here is stuck with her mother, and this is not right. There's something wrong with this picture here. So basically what she does is that she goes to Gaia, and she says, girl, Gaia, they're sitting down for a coffee, Jackie. And she says, girl, Gaia, I was looking over there with Demeter and her daughter. There is something wrong there. And Gaia goes, And so Aphrodite calls up Hades and says, look, Hades, here is the deal. Here is this young virgin up here. She ain't been touched by nobody. Go get her. And Gaia says, and I'll open the doorway for you. So basically, it is actually mainly through her granddaughter Demeter, who is another version of of Gaia, that we get a glimpse of the Earth Mother, who represents the pregnant potential of budding life. It is through her womb that we are all conceived, as Demeter is an image of the animating principle of nature itself.
So Gaia is a goddess of the moon,
mm-hmm.
and her daughter, her granddaughter,
yeah.
is the Earth, and that connects.
No,
to
Gaia is the Earth, and she is, but she is a lunar goddess. She's a mother, and all mothers are lunar goddesses to one extent or another.
Okay, because I was going to ask you, how are they both?
Yeah, and then Gaia gives birth to Rhea, who is Demeter's mother, who is another version of Gaia, and then Demeter, who is another version of Gaia. in Western society, we're more focused on solar concerns, getting the new car, new job, fat bank account, new quest, new goal, new understanding. The only real connection that we really have to Demeter is through our body. And everyone is born a little baby. Slowly the body magically begins to grow and sprout hairs and gains definition over time until it reaches, you know, its peak perfection around, according to modern day, 25. And then slowly begins the process of disintegration. Everyone has a time and a season, and everything that has a beginning must also have an ending. And Demeter is the goddess who presides over such instinctual magical processes.
Okay. So...
Go ahead.
So explain one more time how the moon and the earth, I mean, well, we are the earth, right? So we got to look
yeah.
at if I have this right, as the lunar goddesses, every mother.
There's none of these goddesses that live actually on the moon. Okay.
True. So they're all, if you're a goddess of motherhood.
A lunar goddess is an agricultural goddess.
Okay.
She has to do with harvest.
And if she's of fertility, then she's also
yeah.
a lunar goddess because
yeah.
she's of that rhythm
yeah.
and cycles. Gotcha.
Anything that has to do with those cycles in some way. Like, for example, Demeter is the goddess of agriculture and the harvest.
Okay.
She provides us with food and nourishment. She feeds our bodies so that we can sustain life. Without food, we will die. When we are fat and sassy...
As much as you try, you cannot live
without
air and sun.
Exactly. When we are fat and sassy and full, whether on the physical or psychological levels, we experience the benefic side of Demeter.
That's another new word for us all.
However, when safety and comfort and our ability to survive is threatened, we can experience great anxiety. And anxiety is a state that Demeter is rather familiar with because she herself goes through it. That state when her daughter is abducted and dragged into the underworld and she doesn't know where she was and she's walking the face of the earth and everything that she passed just disintegrated and turned into flames and died and all this other stuff. You know, she's smoted, you know, you didn't want to get in her way. She was pissed off.
yeah.
And she just left an enormous amount of devastation in her way. Anxiety is a feeling that life is not safe. And that we are under the threat of annihilation and destruction, and that this can be triggered by our not feeling safe and secure, the threat of rejection, changes in the environment. And if you are experiencing states of anxiety, you could be experiencing moments of disconnection from your moon.
Okay. So as we're going through this,
sure.
and as we're talking about how the moon affects our lives, and looking at this as beyond or deeper than your astrological chart, maybe like
yeah.
taking your astrological chart off the paper and circling it around you.
Yes.
So you can look at some poorly aspected lunar things.
Well, I think that if you have...
Your behavior.
I think, exactly, because say, for example, you have a transit of Uranus coming to your moon.
Uh-huh.
It may feel very much like, and this is why I think everybody should know their chart to some extent or another, and they should know the planets that are transiting their chart at any given time.
Well, I'm also looking at it this way because I don't know my chart. I mean, you know my
mm-hmm.
chart better than I do. And so I'll go, man, what's going on in my life?
Currently you have Uranus, which is in opposition to your moon, okay? Uranus can provoke an enormous amount of anxiety. So if we were to look at it in the period of, or through the eyes of Demeter, okay, basically it would be, where the hell is my child?
Right, and or it could be your Lexus that you're looking for. Where is that success? Where is that thing that I have been working towards?
Well, I think that would be because you're not getting it. So the anxiety would be created because what you thought was the natural cycle in some way has become disrupted.
So here's my thought process in this whole thing is that,
mm-hmm.
you know, if I'm looking at this as the average person who doesn't have that intensive astrological knowledge that you have, which I don't, and just taking stock of where I am, if I feel
yeah.
I'm in a cycle again, if I'm in a cycle of this, or if I'm feeling disconnected from my body by either one way or the other with the weight or being dysmorphic, that's the
yeah.
word I was looking for, like I cannot connect with where I am or not connect with my emotions. So I started thinking about this, what would I do? What would I do with that? How do I reconnect with my body? How do I get more grounded?
The antitoxin for the god is the god.
That's what I was thinking. I was thinking I would pull in, if I was just, you know, because I always burn the Coventry candles because
yeah.
I have them and that's what I do and that's my go-to. I would light things like the earth candle.
Yeah.
To get grounded, to get into my body.
And if you have too much Demeter going on, I would go the opposite route. And
do the happiness
yeah.
candle, or the success candle, or the crown of glory, which are very, a little more masculine. But the other thing I was thinking about in this process, if I was in that place of anxiety because I had too much Demeter
yeah.
going on or too grounded, I would do the heart candle, lifting myself up just a little bit.
Yeah.
Because I think the tranquil home and the heart helps you connect with some of that lunar energy. But above and beyond all this stuff, I would grab the full moon candle.
Mm-hmm.
And I would do the full moon and the new moon candle. And if you feel that lunar energy is throwing your cycles out of whack, just get those two and burn them and help that, you know, tug of war come to balance. You know, and don't be afraid of... I'd also kind of start bringing jasmine into my world.
Exactly. And, you know, the thing here with Demeter is that certain people are going to feel connected to her, certain people are not,
mm-hmm.
Depending upon where your moon is in your horoscope. For example, if your moon is in an earth sign, you pretty much have a pretty good affinity towards Demeter.
Okay.
There is a side of the moon in Libra that has a connection with Demeter. The moon in Cancer may have a connection with Demeter. But when you have, for people who are experiencing the disconnection, going into anxiety, where you will really see Demeter alive is if you're turning to compulsive behaviors and phobias around food, money, people, material objects, or any other twisted surrogate of mother's milk.
Mm-hmm. Well, okay. I want to know about Wonder Woman.
Oh, you want to know about Wonder Woman?
I want to know about Wonder Woman.
She's actually a much older goddess.
Because I think a lot of women, when their moon is out of whack, we try and become that.
Actually, she is a much older goddess whose name is Artemis.
Okay.
And she's very popular in pagan circles. Pagans love Artemis.
And that's Diana as well.
Yeah.
Okay.
Although most people recognize her with her Roman name, Diana. And, you know, unfortunately in the Roman iconography, Jackie, she's ended up wearing a gym slip and has a tennis racket. You know, she's kind of the sporty Artemis. And then she later, you know, that was 2,000 years ago. About 70 years ago, she ended up, you know, the princess of the Amazons on Themyscira.
Yeah.
Whose name is Diana, who ends up, you know, coming to save us from World War II and all those horrible things that the Nazis were doing. She's still wearing her gym skirt, by the way. Yes, she. But here is the interesting thing. This is how bad she's been amputated from her original form. She now fights for solar justice, not the justice of nature. And this shows how over time these archaic lunar goddesses have slowly morphed into something that is more appealing to our social senses, which are more concerned with solar principles than archaic rituals of natural life. However, Artis's iconography is much older. She began as an Anatolian goddess.
What is that?
Anatolia was like Sumeria. You know, around that time period, who I believe that she came, it's the Turkey area.
Okay.
Who was also known as Cybele. Now, her ancient statues pictured her with thousands of breasts on her body, and she represented the powerful potency of pregnant life. Now, Artemis has a son, whose name is Attis, and he castrates himself in order to be loyal to her. And you can see we're moving fast away now from that swimsuit and the colors red, white, and blue and fighting the forces of evil. In this form, the lunar goddess as an image of the dark heart of wild nature. And she's really not all that pleasant.
Well, no, because if she polluted her son's mental status to castrate himself, to hate, which is really interesting because if you want to circle with Dianic witches,
yeah,
you really have to. There's a lot of women who really are repelled by their masculine side, which is interesting because Dianic rituals and Dianic energy is kind of masculine at the same time.
Yes. Well, Artemis creates frenzies. You know, one of the things that another place where she comes up is the Maenads, who were the ritualistic women or the cult followers of Dionysus, who's just a little bit of an older version of Christ. And basically what the Maenads did is they would go out into the mountains, Jackie, in the middle of the night, and anything that came at them, whether it be a boar or a man or anything, they would get into such a frenzy with their rituals that they would just start tearing stuff apart, and blood and gore and everything was lying around. It was, you know, probably quite smelly and you know, disgusting, but, you know, and how you can see this, how we can interpret this into ordinary life. These particular images is you often see people go out of their minds when they do drugs and alcohol, where they have these temporary or a temporary psychological breakdown. Artemis becomes rageful and frenzied, and she can be seen in eating disorders such as bulimia. Also, compulsive overeating is another way that you can connect with her,
so
because one is seized by lunar food.
It absolutely goes back to you in the beginning of the show when you talked about what is food to you. How do you feed yourself?
Yeah.
How do you feed your lunar side?
Because it tells you which goddess that you're attached to. And I think that if you know which goddess that you're more attached to, I think that there's an easier way of dealing with her, or at least paying her homage in such a way that the negative side does not have it. You don't become possessed by the negative side.
Well, and that's when I'm finding myself in that kind of frenzy. And it doesn't matter whether it's a food frenzy or an emotional outburst frenzy or a frenzy of, oh, my God, I have to fight for everything. Just that there's any kind of – I get frenzied. It's when I really start to pull in the emotional balance candle, the healing candle,
mm-hmm.
And even the crown of glory, or finding the happiness, finding my own truth. We have the new truth and justice candle. You know, so just kind of taking that emotional candle as the center point and putting other candles around it to bring it into balance.
Well, out of all of the four that we're going to do, I think that we are the most disconnected from Artemis. There are many cultures in the past, Jackie, that did worship her. Most notably were the Amazons, which is, of course, where Wonder Woman comes from. In Greek myth, the Amazons mated with unknown men for the simple purpose of becoming pregnant. Now, the man children that were born of these unions were discarded or just and destroyed. And the female children were raised as members of the tribe. Through this imagery, we see Artemis as a goddess of procreation that does not seem to care about the preservation of a single life, yet is only concerned with the continuity of the family or the group.
That, you know what that reminds me of?
What?
Pro-lifers.
It reminds me of the pro-lifers. And when you sit down and you look at this, you might look at China a little bit differently with the destruction of the female babies.
Yes, because that
it's
whole,
karma.
Right, but also the pro-lifers, they're more concerned about saving the fetus.
Yes.
But they're completely disconnected from making sure that that fetus now has a good and healthy life.
And if you notice them...
But the minute they're born, they want nothing to do with them.
And here's the other part about it, which I think you're going to find very fascinating with keeping the pro-lifers in mind. In modern society, we can see something very similar that occurs when someone goes against a tribe or a group. The members often become frenzied through gossip and chatter. And although the killing is criminalized in most modern-day cultures, the purging and eliminating becomes character assassination in order to preserve the group. It's not pretty to observe, and when one gets caught up in an Artemis frenzy, they often do not recognize their behaviors, but when they reflect back on it, they're just kind of aghast at what they did. Simply put, Artemis is not concerned with the individual relationships or individual potency in any way. She is only concerned with gestation, birth, nurturing, and preservation. We're the most disconnected from her in modern life. She's not really revered in a natural state anymore. However, paganism does pay homage to her through the Wheel of the Year.
Uh-huh.
The relationship between the Great Mother and her ritualistically sacrificed king is the symbol behind the pagan holidays.
Okay, but even that has gotten a little distilled, whitewashed.
Oh, I agree with you, because, you know, the king is born at Yule, and he invariably dies at Samhain, only to become born once again. The king does not become dependent on his own, or really has his own set of stories and challenges. His entire identity is bound up in her, and he only serves her through life and death.
Right. So it's a fascinating how even that has been, even folks who are trying to step back into more of this lunar connecting with their moon, or maybe too connected with their moon, it's that aspect of it. We don't really do that. We're not doing that. You know, we're looking more at this, but that is a very big part of it. When you deny the dark side, when you deny that part of the cycle, it's you're denying a part of yourself.
Here's the other thing, is that when it's easy to see when Artemis possesses us. I think much easier to see with her than Demeter. It's hysteria, mania, let me raise my hand, compulsive binges, alcohol, drugs, mm-hmm. self-mutilation, dismemberment, and even many sexual disorders are ways that Artemis makes her face known to modern society. One of the things that I was reading about when I was doing some research before we moved to Circe is... there are actually people, Jackie, that are running around the United States right now, okay, who are HIV negative, that's goal is to become HIV positive.
That's crazy.
It's crazy, but it's an Artemis frenzy.
Yeah, that is.
Because at the end of the day, when you have given yourself over to the body and the diseases of the body, you have given in to her.
Well, we've...
And
yeah.
You've castrated your life.
I know, and can you believe it? We're starting to wind down on our time, so we have a couple more we want to talk about.
Absolutely. Now these two are a lot easier. So, Circe and Hecate. Again, Hecate doesn't have a whole big, huge body of myth attached to her. But it's good that we can move away from the bloodbath of Artemis into some gentle but perhaps equally disturbing water. we've seen the face of the moon as the Great Mother and raw, volatile nature. Now let's look at her as a sorceress. Circe was the goddess of magic. In most accounts, she's the daughter of Helios and a nymph. She's most notable in the story of Odysseus and lives on an island that Odysseus visits on his way back from the Trojan War. So he went and battled, he's on his way back.
Okay.
Circe has this nasty habit of mating with men and then turning them into swine. And she gives us a hint that under the spell of the moon, we're all reduced to our instincts, which are often not real concerned about society's laws and codes. Now, One of the most profound ways that Circe seems to come to life is when we become emotional or seized by a feeling that just overcomes us, and we begin to lose sight of rationality and oftentimes even civility.
Mm-hmm.
We have all experienced it when we become overwhelmed emotionally and begin to act in ways that we normally would not, tossing ourselves about on the beds, throwing ourselves onto the floor, breaking the kitchenware.
Getting up from a meeting going, I'm not doing this anymore.
Rage quitting. rage quitting. You know, you're in your little Facebook group. I am mad at this person. I'm leaving. Yeah, click. Circe comes out when we lose control of our emotions and are momently taken over by our urges and as such are reduced to uncivilized behavior.
Oh, Lord. I get the Circe thing. Okay, keep going.
I think this one is rather easy to work out on its own. And Circe often appears when our emotions and feelings have been ignored. In myth, Circe is disrespected by Odysseus, who has sexual relations with her for a period, and then he wants to return to his wife. And Circe becomes enraged and turns his whole crew into pigs, which is where we get our ideas that men are sexually craven animals that we call pigs. Whenever I have a client that phones me and insists that her boyfriend is being held in his marriage by black magic
uh-huh.
or is being magically controlled, I always know that the archetype of Circe is alive and well in that relationship.
And, you know, I have to say that the crazy time when you're completely out of control mentally, emotionally, is when I pull out the witch's brew candle. So I find this very fascinating that she's the we're talking about the goddess of witchcraft and sorcery, and what I pull out is my witch's brew candles and the Van candles and that hardcore. When I'm out of control and I need the big guns, I'll pull out hoodoo, I'll pull out witch's brew, and some people think the witch's brew is a little lighter, but oh no, those are big guns. So that witch's brew candle, frankincense, myrrh, dragon's blood, that just put you right back where you need to be.
I think that the way that we honor Circe is to be cognizant of our emotions and express them rather than submit to them for solar concerns or needs. I think that in the end, the story with Circe is that you have to have a good bit of both of them on your plate in order to eat a good meal.
Yeah.
Our last one, but not least, is Hera. Now, I know that on the other side, people are going to go,
because Hera, it keeps getting painted. As this, like you said, this repressed figure, this bitch.
Yeah, exactly.
You're going to have to bleep that word out, sorry.
Actually, it's not a bad word.
Okay, but the S word is, that's stupid. Anyway, because they think that she's just a bitter woman.
Well, she is the enemy of the feminist movement, for sure. But she's probably the most integrated goddess of the moons of the moon that we have in psychology. One of the most recent visitations of Hera upon the world stage was in the 2008 presidential election. Hillary Clinton has always been a polarizing figure.
I knew you were going there.
She seems to elicit numerous reactions amongst women who either love her or they hate her.
Because she stayed with her man and worked it out.
Exactly. For many women, the fact that Mrs. Clinton stayed with her husband
after
his affair with Miss Monica Lewinsky was more than they could handle, and it violated many of their ideals and beliefs. And because
by the
that,
way, do you find it ironic that Miss Lewinsky is telling her story now?
I found it very, very ironic, Jackie, that when I sent you the moon, you know, in my email thing, because I use Gmail, it'll give me the news off to the side. And when I went to hit the button and looked at the right, it said Monica Lewinsky, and I said, you cannot make this up.
No, you cannot.
You cannot make this up.
Okay, keep going.
Now, for many women, the fact that Mrs. Clinton stayed with her husband afterwards was more than they could handle. And as a result, they found the solar god embodied in the image of Barack Obama, who spoke of hope and change and challenged our beliefs in a better future, more tasteful. I have also found in New Age circles that Hera is viewed in a rather suspect sort of way, because she's not real concerned with divorce and marital equality. She is concerned with stability and sanctity of marriage, the family unit, and defined morality.
And that's why she's the almost the opposite or the antithesis of, or the arch enemy.
Artemis, yeah.
Of the feminist movement, because she's keeping the family together. So I find that very interesting.
Now, the moon has her own list of laws and structures, which are concerned with preserving the family in order to protect
right.
the species.
Right.
Now, as long as we are procreating, there is a necessity for us to define family in one way or another. And if we don't, it turns into absolute chaos. And Hera abhors that more so than anything else. Although these laws are often looked at curiously by supposed enlightened or spiritually sophisticated people, let's face it, we all have a need to belong and define ourselves through a family system. This provides us with an identity which has long been the domain of the feminine rather than the masculine.
It's interesting when I was going through, sorry, I'm interrupting, but when I was going through these notes and looking at this and talking about this, I remember one with one client, who was just in a constant state of chaos, her work literally was to do spell work around putting together very simple puzzles, starting with the simplest puzzle, and then I had her do more and more advanced puzzles. So she was bringing that order to chaos, and that reminded me, that was a total Hera moment.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, and the reason also is, in another dimension of the moon, is that the moon cannot bear isolation, and it needs others. And it needs people to rely upon and connections in order to feel secure. And it is often during times of great tribulation that one's social circle of friends and alliances no longer provide enough sustenance in our emotional lives, Jackie.
Right.
And despite any petty bickering, the only place that we long for is home. And
right.
and I think that that is one thing to kind of take note. When we're left... Oftentimes, even in our worst situation, when every other resource has exhausted us, and whether we hate mother and father or not, oftentimes they provide us with the only relief that we can get.
Yeah. You know what this also reminds me of?
What?
The typical Jewish, Irish, or Italian mother.
And she's very alive and well in those households.
Yes.
Now, the thing that I think that people need to remember is that Hera, like all archetypal deities, even the well-worshipped Gaia, is amoral. She has a positive side and a negative side. Unfortunately for Hera, her negative side seems to get more press. Yet we must understand that without a sense of relationship to roots and family, any society falls into anarchy.
Well, here's the thing that I'm thinking about here, like right at this moment, is my mom. My mother, my... Fuck. Oops. Bleep
that.
Now
that word we will have to bleep.
My role as a mother is what I'm trying to say. So, so my mom too, but my role as a mother is to interpret between factions of the family. And my role as a mother within Coventry is to interpret, to keep things together, to help drive us forward. So every mother will experience these moments of Hera because nothing is disposable at that point.
Exactly. And I think that if we didn't have that particular structure, Jackie, what happens in a society where there's too much anarchy and too much chaos mm-hmm. is it begins to become regressive, and it will unleash itself in the hunt for a scapegoat, or it paves the way for a tyrant parent to take over the country.
Mm-hmm.
However, if there's too much lunar law, the individual suffocates, for we are back once again to matriarchal rule. No act or thought or creative effort is permissible which might threaten the security of the collective, and the individual must either turn outlaw or slide into living death or chronic depression. Now, with Hera, the compulsive behavior patterns that she's not acknowledged, political groups, you know, she's alive and well in political groups, girl.
Yeah, I was just going to say, it's that I'm seeing some patterns.
Conspiracy theorists. Religion or spiritual dysfunctions, for example, Marxism is kind of a disjointed Hera. So were the Branch Davidians.
Yep.
It's really kind of messed up that way. I think if I was to work with, or if I had a client that was too associated with Hera, okay, or was dealing with the dysfunctional side, mm-hmm. I think I would probably recommend Happy Home.
Well, that's one of the notes that I have on here, but also it's really interesting is where I went back to is Crown of Glory. So... stability, and then truth. So whether it's scales of justice or truth and justice, because it brings the balance. Those are all balancing type things. But not necessarily the inner balance, because that's a little too lunar.
Yeah.
And it's energy. So all of this stuff and working with the moon and finding your story that you connect with is really important. And why this is magic, why this is... So what feeds you? Does your family feed you? Does your power feed you? Does food feed you? So what is it that you're feeding your soul with? Because that, to me, this, my takeaway from this whole thing is the moon is how you feed your soul.
And also, if you have a great issue with Hera, you may need to pay homage to her.
Right.
The reason being is that it is, you know, usually what I will see, Jackie, with individuals that are so anti-Hera that they... you know, that they don't want to even acknowledge her existence and, you know, that they're going through their own things. Oftentimes they have an enormous amount of problems with structure. And they're the ones that fall into the conspiracy theories and they're on top of the house, you know, waiting for the black helicopters to come get them. Now, it is inevitable that if one suppresses the moon, great consequences will probably occur. If we lack a feeling of lunar roots inside, we will seek them on the outside one way or another. And what I mean by that is that the reason why people get involved in political groups or conspiracy theories or they start acting out with anorexia or bulimia or any of the other dysfunctions that we talked about with any of the lunar goddesses, using magic as a means of strictly of control. You know, they're disconnected from the moon. The problem is that archetypal power is a fraud, not because it's not our own. And if we have not worked through the lens of our own individuality, they take us over, and we abdicate all choice and sense of personal responsibility.
So this is, I'm glad that we're doing the moon show, and then in 2 weeks we're doing the solar show.
The solar will be a lot easier for people to...
But the moon, again, it's not just your emotions. Again,
no.
My takeaway is it's not just your emotions and the depth of your emotions.
No.
But what it sounds like is it's also how...
we survive.
We survive. And survival is about interacting with the world.
Yes.
It's not about shutting yourself off. It's about how you... So the moon is also like kind of like... how we perceive how the world works with us. Not necessarily how we work with the world, but how the world works with us.
And what in the world causes us to feel anxious, going back to what Liz Green was talking about.
Mm-hmm.
What in the world causes us to be anxious? And what do we reach for as a result of that anxiety is all lunar.
And what are we cycling through over
yeah.
and over and over again is a lunar thing.
Yeah, because I will talk about, you know, in the show on the sun, that some people get, you know, that there's a particular part of the sun called the threshold crossing. And some people that are stuck in lunar mode, Jackie, stay there for their whole life, battling that one dragon over and over and over and over.
Right. And that's getting stuck in the moon. But using the moon as your timekeeper, so to speak, using the moon, it can be a very powerful thing because you're like, okay, I'm in a cycle again. What part of my cycle am I in? How am I moving through it? How am I spiraling outward in this? How am I feeding my soul and feeding my emotions or those deeper desires in a positive way?
Yeah.
And when you disconnect, it's like when you're too connected, it reminds me of, like I said before, it's like you got stuck in a past identity or something, some emotional moment. But when you're not connected at all, then you're not understanding that you even have emotions around this, and you're letting instincts rule you.
Exactly. Too much of anything is not good for your baby.
Right. Exactly.
And we're done.
I know. We're not only we're done, we're a little overdone.
Well, Hera might have got ticked off if we didn't give her due. So we just let her have her finish. Make sure that you go on over to CoventryCreations.com. If you have a problem in your life, regardless of what that problem is, especially if it's a lunar problem, we have a candle for that. So www.CoventryCreations.com. You can also book a reading with Jackie at Coventry Creations. I do have a few appointments before the end of May that are available. So if you want to cruise on over to www.stormfestivani.com, I will get you taken care of there. And, Jackie, in the meantime, what do they need to do until we talk about the sun?
We need to keep it magic.
Speak life, everybody. We'll see you in 2 weeks.
Feels perfect. Other days it just ain't working. The good, the bad, the right, the wrong, and everything in between. Yo, it's crazy, amazing. We can turn our heart through the words we say. Mountains crumble with every syllable. Hope can live or die. So speak life. Apart. I do, I don't, I will, I won't. It's like I'm drowning in the deep. Well, it's crazy to imagine words from my lips as the arms of compassion. Mountains crumble with every syllable. Hope can live or die. So speak life. Words you say, raise your thoughts a little higher.